Would you please join me once again in the book of Ezra? It's so good to be here today. Good to see everyone. Thankful for those who have traveled distances to be here. Remember one another in prayer. We all have unspoken requests. This is going to be the last message I'm going to be bringing at this time from the book of Ezra. We started our study in the book of Ezra in July of 2019, and I have thoroughly enjoyed what I thought at the first would be a dry passage. But the Lord has left His gospel in every book of the Bible, and Ezra is just one of those wonderful books. There is a long list of folks listed in this chapter, and we'll not read all of those. You can do that on your own, but we'd like to say a few things about those folks that are in that long list. I'd like to begin reading with verse 8 of the 10th chapter of the book of Ezra. A problem had been brought to Ezra's attention. A lot of the folks that were in the lineage of Israel had adopted the religions of the people of the land, married folks, and they had to say consciously or unconsciously that this religion that I am adopting right now is just as good as that one I had over there. You cannot adopt another religion without saying, this is just as good as God's. We have to admit that. There was a bunch of folks that had done that. Now the word went out. You know, the word goes out. Whether it's from here, gospel churches around the world, whether it's through the use that we have found such a blessing of, and that is sermon audio and Zoom, the word goes out, and we don't hear a lot about the results of it. We don't hear, not many people are writing saying, thank you, but we don't care. That's not the reason we do it. The reason we do it is God has called us to that ministry, and it's His business to deal with the word as it goes out. Well, the word had gone out through Ezra and through others, and the word had gone out to those folks that had been found in the minds of Ezra and of the elders and of the Word of God, guilty of adopting other religions. The Word had got out to them. And in fact, the Scriptures tell us here in Ezra chapter 10 and verse 8, He says, and now for a little space grace hath been shown, chapter 10 verse 8, and whatsoever would not come within 3 days, according to the counsel of the princes and the elders, all his substance should be forfeited and himself separated from the congregation of those that have been carried away. So this is the word that's gone out. You have these 3 days to come to Jerusalem. Well, the gospel has been going out since the very beginning, but I tell you this, the end of opportunity is ending. When Christ shall save His last sheep, the end of all opportunity will be over. So let's just say that that's 3 days. And those who do not hear the gospel and those who do not respond to the call of God, number one, were never written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and number two, will forfeit all. Nothing will be allowed to be theirs for eternity. Well, the call goes out, and the prayer went out, that this would be an effectual call to all those over there that had adopted false religion and had intermarried with people that were in the land. There in Ezra chapter 10 and verse 9, the Scriptures say this, then all the men of Judah and Benjamin gathered themselves together into Jerusalem within 3 days. What a response has come as the gospel had gone out. The word had gone out. Come to Jerusalem. Come, there's hope. That's what that was said about Ezra's message. There's yet hope. There's hope in Israel. There's no hope in that. But there's hope in Christ. There's hope in the gospel. There's hope in the ministry of Christ, the work of Christ, the death of the Savior. There's hope there. Find hope in Christ. And they came, and they came, and they came in the 3 days that were they given opportunity to come. They come in mass as God called His people out of every kindred, tribe, tongue, and whatever. He brings His people out, and they come to where the sanctuary is, and that is the person of Christ Jesus. He truly is the sanctuary of the church. He's the hiding place of the church. So they come in. You know, I am convinced, just as there always is, the naysayers who were there in Jerusalem all along and had never got involved with all of that religious stuff. They had been there, they had watched the altar being established, they'd watched the walls of the temple being brought up, they had watched all of this work and things that had gone on there in Jerusalem since these people had been freed from Babylonian captivity. And when all of these other folks came into town by the command of the Word of God, there was a whole host of them said, "I thank God I'm not like them. Those are sinner folks. Those are the people that adopted false religions, and I never fell into that pit." The whole host of names that are listed in the rest of this chapter share with us, much like we find in the Lamb's Book of Life, written with the names of God's eternal chosen people before the foundation of the world. This is the hall of faith that we read about here in the last pages of this chapter. This is the hall of faith. Those whose God's Word touched and the Holy Spirit drew and brought them to safety in Jerusalem, and they bowed the knee to Almighty God and put away bowing their knee to Baal. I appreciate what I read about a wonderful gospel preacher in the Old Testament that got a little bit discouraged, and God brought to him some wonderful news. There are yet 7,000 that have not bowed the knee to Baal. How many came in from the outer realms of here of Jerusalem, outside of Jerusalem, and these parts of what used to be old Israel and old Judah? How many came? We don't know exactly how many came, but the right number came because they're the ones that heard the truth of the gospel and were ushered in. And yet there are always those who would say, "I'm glad I'm not like those folks." No doubt there are a number of times that we find in Scripture that people lined up to come into Jerusalem. We just heard about one of those places there in 2 Chronicles when the word, we haven't had the Passover for many years, and we are encouraged from the king to come and post. Same word might be translated there. The evangelist went out. We got good news. Come down to Jerusalem. We're going to have the Passover. We haven't had it for a long time. And you know what most of those folks did to those evangelists? They made fun of them. "We'll stay here. We like it better here." But nevertheless, some out of those tribes came down to Jerusalem and they observed the Passover. Those are the list of people found in the latter part of this chapter, chapter 10 of the book of Ezra. Their names are listed there. They're the nevertheless ones that came. And my friend, we find a great host of people gathered in another passage of Scripture, and there is a list of those. We don't have the names of them here. God knows them, but there is the host of them that were the nevertheless. The Holy Spirit came to them in power and demonstration, and they were moved by Almighty God to come to Christ. Would you join me over in the book of Matthew chapter 25 as we look at this list of folks, just like there in the book of Ezra, a host of folks. Yes, they were sinners. Guess what? They were the first to admit it. Yes, they had gone after false gods. They were the first to admit that when the word came to them. You know, by nature, every one of us have adopted the religion of this world by our very birth. We have all adopted the religion of this world, and that religion of this world is that we have adopted a religion that by works we can approach God, and it takes God Almighty to shake us to our timbers and show us that it is only by His righteousness and by His works we're saved. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And so it's the grace of God that does this. He grabbed Saul of Tarsus and shook him to his innermost being and revealed unto him Christ. That's what the Apostle Paul said about that. When it pleased God to reveal His Son in me. How thankful these folks were that came from the hinterlands into Jerusalem that day by divine invitation from Almighty God at the appointed time. And even though people, even their family members said, "We're not like you," we stayed true. You remember the Pharisee that said, "I thank God I'm not like other men, and especially this publican." Matthew chapter 25. Someday, this is going to happen. In fact, someday, the Lord is coming back in His glory. In Matthew chapter 25, let's begin reading with verse 31. Matthew chapter 25 and verse 31, and it says, "Before Him shall be gathered all nations." Now, if you look that word up, I've had preachers say, that's Spain and England and the U.S., oh, the former USSR and France and the United States. And I said, at what time in the history of these countries is God going to sift them out? Because many places have known the gospel in the past, and right now it is so slight there that you could hardly find a people that believe the gospel. So when this word is not nations, this is peoples. This is individuals. This is people that have been created in Adam's, or in God's image in Adam, and they are all trespassers against a thrice holy God because of the fall and by their own sin. Now here, they're all gathered. It tells us here, "Before Him shall be gathered all nations, and He shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats." Now when is that? Look at verse 31. "When the Son of Man shall come in His glory." There's a time coming when Christ is going to return to this earth, as He promised. It won't be a secret coming. It will be an overt coming. With the clash of thunder, if you please. With the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. It's going to happen. Daniel wrote about it, and he said, those just and unjust shall be raised. And we find the Lord Jesus mentions this. You know, this modern idea of theology about eschatology, it is just modern. You don't find it in Scripture. You find Jesus Christ is going to come at that day, and all will be raised, and here is what's going to happen as a result of it. It says there that this one, the Son of God, Son of Man, shall come in His glory, and all holy angels with Him, when they shall sit upon the throne of His glory. You know, you may have an issue with me, but you will not leave the gospel over it. Nobody has a personality conflict with someone else and leaves the gospel over it. You can't leave the gospel over it. Well, He's come in His glory. And that word glory means that. It's something that we can't even establish in our mind. We cannot comprehend what the beauty of the Lord Jesus Christ coming in His glory. And it goes on to tell us there, "And He shall sit upon the throne of His glory." He is Almighty. Now, He does something here at His prerogative. It tells us here that He shall separate all of these that are gathered. And you know, there's going to be millions. Right now, I understand there's about 300 million people in the United States. And in China, what is there, 2 billion? 3 billion? There's millions and billions of people on the face of the earth right now. Just what was it 100 years ago or 1,000 years ago? You add all of those folks up and we have them assembled at one day before the Lord in His glory. It says here, He shall separate everybody as a shepherd doth divide his sheep from the goats. It's His prerogative. He's the shepherd. He's the good shepherd. He's the great shepherd, and He is the chief shepherd, and He does all things after the counsel of His own will. Now, He separates them according to what His plan was before the foundation of the world, because it goes on and tells us right here, and He shall set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on the right hand, Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Now He could have just as easily said that in the days of Ezra, but He chose not to because He's going to wait until the end. But those who came in from the hinterlands, as the gospel was preached and the Holy Spirit brought it to their mind and to their heart and in power and overwhelming power of Almighty God, and they came to Jerusalem and came to worship the Lord there, they are identifying themselves. If they're truly there for the right purpose, they're there identifying themselves that someday when God calls this whole thing to be stopped and it's over, by the grace of God, He'll separate me on the right side. What a blessing it is to be there, because this is the purpose of God, as He says, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Now, when all of those folks came to Jerusalem in the book of Ezra, not one of them came and said to Ezra or to any of the other leaders of Jerusalem at that time and said, I come by my own merit and my own power, and I'm just glad to be here because I am very good. Those folks came knowing what had happened. We have people on the right-hand side that are identified as sinners. They're identified by God as sinners, and they're identified by themselves as sinners. And as the Apostle Paul brings out, the chiefest of sinners. I don't deserve to be here. And in fact, they go on to tell us here, for Jesus said, For I was a hungered and you gave me meat, and I was thirsty and you gave me drink, and I was a stranger and you took me in, and naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous, now note that word, underline that word, then shall the righteous, those who have Christ's righteousness, they shall say this, Lord, when saw we thee a hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? Now, you know, most people that deal with this are dealing with this and looking at them as all countries, and then they're saying, you know, give a glass of water to someone that's thirsty. Go into the prisons and visit them. You know what this is really talking about? Far greater than that. What do you share with people about Christ? Is He the living water? You know, this whole group of people on the right-hand side, when they went to say something about the God of heaven, the God of the Bible, they only could present what the Bible says about Christ. What did Jesus tell those disciples of John when He sent two disciples, several disciples, to come and find out, are you the Christ or should we look for another? He says, you go back and tell them what is happening here. And every one of those things that Jesus Christ described is what Jesus Christ spiritually does for us in raising us from the spiritual dead. We're in prison. He lets us go. We're dead. We're raised. We're deaf. We can hear. We can't speak, but now we can speak glory to God. And all of the things that God uses with regard to the spiritual application of our senses. And that's what these people do. They know the gospel, and they go out and preach it. And you know what? When Christ brings up the results of this, they said, "We didn't have anything to do with that. We didn't have anything to do with that. We didn't get involved with that. We didn't expect." Because when we plant the seed, when we preach the gospel, it's out of our hands from that point on. We have no ability whatsoever of producing seed. We have no ability of producing growth. We have no ability at all of producing the new birth. We have no ability at all of ever convicting anybody of their sin. We have no ability at all, whatever. The scriptures are quite plain on this, that God is the first cause of all things. First creation, second creation. Deliverance is pictured, found in the book of Judges. Deliverance found by spiritual application when the Holy Spirit comes and delivers us from ourselves, from our sin, and from our relationship to Adam. This is a glorious thing. The Lord Jesus Christ says here, "Yes, you are works. You are my workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works." But when you were asked about the gospel, you never went astray from it. You always directed people as John did. "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." 112 years ago today, my father was born. 1909, Boscobel, Wisconsin. He taught from a pulpit in the church where I grew up for 40 years, the Bible class. This is the only thing I can remember what my dad said. And that was when his brother passed away, his youngest brother passed away. He told me and the rest of our family, "I know where Uncle Clinton is." And you know, being an inquisitive, I said, "How do you know that? How do you know he's in heaven?" You know what the answer was? He was a good man. 40 years of teaching went out the door. 40 years of standing before people was wasted because he did not know what the gospel was. He didn't know Christ. At the most opportune time to share the gospel, he couldn't bring himself to it because he didn't know it. At the most opportune time, what do we say about Jesus Christ? What do we say? I went to my pastor one time and told him, "I don't believe I'm saved." You know what he did? He got me down on my knees again and said, "Ask Jesus into your heart." He didn't know the first thing about the gospel, because that's not how we're saved. We're saved by the grace of God, and we're saved because God's activity upon us. Oh, to hear the word of God, that's a miracle. To have God's word preached is a miracle. But for him to give us the new birth, that's glorious. And then in that day, to be able to stand on the right hand because he chose it that way, and to hear him say and to answer, "When did we do that? We didn't know we even did that." You know what the truth about the gospel is? That is beggars telling other beggars where we found bread. We found bread in Christ. Thirsty ones telling other thirsty ones where they found water. That's in Christ, the water of life. Fearful ones, telling fearful ones where there is a sanctuary. And Jesus said, "I'm the door to the sheepfold." What do we say? I went to my mother one time. I was really troubled during my early years and teenage years. about where I stood with the gospel, where did I stand with Christ. And I remember one time going fishing and saying, Lord, if I'm saved, let me catch a fish. Oh my goodness. I look back, what in the world? And you know, there was just absolutely no peace or safety in that false religion that I grew up in. But I'm so thankful in God's good time, He sent someone who knew something about the gospel. He knew someone who knew something about Christ. And He preached it and left it alone. That's what we're to do. What was it that God intended for a person who had leprosy to do? What did He tell us to do with them? Get alone. Boy, that's my attitude towards you come to me and say you're lost. Get alone with Christ. I can't take you any further. There is no midwives in the Scriptures. Well, it goes on here and tells us in this wonderful passage of Scripture that the Lord talks to them and He calls them in verse 37, then shall the righteous answer Him saying, Lord, when did we do that? You're the one that brought all of the growth. You're the one that brought all the sprouting. You're the one that brought all the production. You're the one that did all the things. You're the one that gave the water of life. You're the one that brought the bread of life. You're the one that is the door. You're the one that is the way, the truth, and the life. When did we do that? And He said, when you did it unto the least of my brethren. And you remember over there, Brother Mike brought out about the brethren? His brothers were standing at the door knocking, trying to get in to see him. And he said, this is my mother, my brethren, the church. You took this gospel and you declared it. And God identified His church by those who said yes. Now, there's another group here. And they all thought they were all right during this life. They were the ones that said, I thank Thee, Lord, that I'm not like these folks coming out from the hinterlands, because I never adopted the false religion that they adopted. I always stayed true to the Word. I love the law, and I love what's found in the Old Testament. And, you know, I've got to the point where I have to admit, and there's an article, just a short article in your bulletin, about the Third Covenant. People have developed the Third Covenant. You know what the Third Covenant is? We're going to mix law and grace. Doesn't work. There's no hope in that. There's no hope in the law. There's no hope in the law and grace. There's only hope in grace. For by grace are you saved. There's a whole host of folks here as we drop down through here. And it tells us, verse 41, then shall He say also unto them on the left hand, word. First word out of the king's mouth at this great day. The first word out of the king's mouth is depart. Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was a hungered, and you gave me no meat. You didn't know the first thing about the gospel. And you know what they say? Then shall they also answer Him, saying, Lord, when saw we Thee a hungered and naked, or and so forth, and didn't do that? You didn't know anything? You couldn't give anything. You couldn't share anything. You didn't know the gospel? You can't share the gospel. I remember my daughter one time called me she was from college. She's going to college up here in LeGrand. And she said, I've just met somebody, then they're this particular kind of religion, and I need some advice on how to deal with them. I says, you can't share what you don't know. So just share what you know. Because if I give you some advice, it's just my advice, and it's not yours. You can't share what you don't know. We cannot share the gospel if we don't know it. We're going to fall into the trap that's right here among those people and say, you know, I'm going to have you talk to the preacher about this. Why not just say, trust Christ and don't move a muscle? Come hear the gospel with me. Come go with us. We'll do thee good. Come to the meeting and hear the gospel. I can't get you from A to B. God is the only one that can do that. So these folks here on the left-hand side, they are really insulted. Now, how much of this is going to go on? Because every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess the Lord Jesus to the glory of God the Father. For us, he says, then shall he answer, saying, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you did not to the one of the least of these, you did it not to me. You didn't share anything of value because you didn't have anything of value to begin with. All you had you was your works, your self-righteousness, your self-religion. And when people came to you, just like my dad did, it has to be of good works because that's the only way my brother could get into heaven. You read the obituary column in our little paper right here, and everybody that dies is in the bosom of Jesus immediately. And you and I know some of those folks. That's not how it happens. The Apostle Paul wrote to the Thessalonians and said, I came to you and preached the gospel, and the Holy Spirit came in power and in demonstration. And by the grace of God, you were turned. And you turned from dumb idols to serve the living God. And you had great high thoughts of God as a result of hearing the gospel. The gospel does something for us that nothing else can do for us. The Lord Jesus Christ does something for us that nothing else can do for us. There is no substitute whatsoever for what God does for His people. We may look for all kinds of substitutes, and we do. We travel from this religion to that religion. I went down to Texas to Bible school in 1971 with all aspirations of coming out and being a great preacher, and I went down believing one thing, got there for about a month and a half, and was told that there's something else, and so I just traded in my Chevy for a Ford and got more religious. And that's all we know. And I spent those 15 years pastoring churches, and all I gave was works. Those on the left. And finally he said, and these shall go away. And he's not... You know, a lot of people speak about this, trying to scare people into heaven, excuse me. Try to scare people. Let's get a movement out of you. Let's do something. Let's make you so afraid of this punishment and this judgment that you just automatically... The Lord Jesus is not sharing this to scare anybody. He's just pointing out the mere fact of things. There's no scare tactics that ever drove anybody to the kingdom of heaven. If that had happened, when God showed Korah and his family by opening up the earth and swallowing them, there would have been a great revival go on and everybody would have been obedient to the gospel. But it wasn't 2 days and they're angry with God one more time. The only change that happens is you must be born again. So there in Ezra, a whole host of folks come in. It doesn't tell us what was said by the people that were there in Jerusalem. I'm making an assumption because I can go to the New Testament and find out what other people said about people who truly had trusted Christ. We're not sinners like you are. But those guys that came in, oh, the peace that they had. The peace that they had been called out of darkness to His marvelous light. The peace that things were now straightened up. The peace that now that religion that they had adopted was no, it wasn't valid and there was no hope in it. Here is hope at Jerusalem. Here is hope in Christ. Here, and it will settle us for eternity. Those folks that came in, they came in by divine appointment. You've got an appointment to make. They came in at the call. The call went out. They came in by the Holy Spirit influencing, coming upon them and had power over them and brought them in. And they were willing to admit to everyone around them, I am a sinner saved by grace. The worst sinner saved by grace. And that's a commonality among every member of the true Church of Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter what station we are in life, economic situation, we can come to this and agree on this. All of us are sinners saved by grace. And so we close the book of Ezra. On a high note, the Holy Spirit's work in people. What a high note. And when we hear about one here or one there, or as Brother Lance has shared with us down there in New Guinea, there's been churches, people have been saved all over. Different color skin, can't speak our language, we can't speak their language, but they know the language of the Spirit, and that is, praise be unto God, for He hath done marvelous works unto me. Brother Mike, if you'll come.